Well, it's a fresh year, January the 3rd, 2021. And today is Sunday morning. And I believe that God's got a good word today. And I believe that you're going to be able to receive that word. So let's open up with prayer. Let's believe God for the very best. Again, I want to thank Pastor and Miss Anita and all the staff and the church and the church family and just everybody, because this church is an awesome church in Thunder Bay. It's awesome that we can have a place where we can grow and develop and blossom and bloom, produce fruit, and that Thunder Bay can be on the map, spiritually speaking, that God Almighty has touched Thunder Bay. Many seeds have been sown. People have been praying for years and years and years, and now we're starting to see the fruit and see some harvest in these areas. And so we just want to thank God and for the ministry of Spirit Alive to go through Canada, preaching the gospel, preaching the word, and sowing seeds. You know, this is God's work, and this is God's thing. And we just thank the Lord Jesus Christ that He has enabled us to be part. And you're a part as well, all the church family and partners. So let's pray and let's believe God for this message. It's a message called Responding from the Heart. And because all the great things come out of your heart. And if a great man of God said, if you're ever going to be healed, you're going to have to be healed in your heart first. A lot of times people have mind knowledge, but we want to have heart understanding and yield and respond from our heart. So let's pray and believe God for our very best. Again, enjoy yourselves and enjoy the presence of God. We believe that the Spirit of God is not limited. It's right there where you are and with you and inside of you. And so thank God for that. Father, we just want to thank you for your goodness and your great grace. We thank you for this house. We bless you and we just worship you. We say thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you that we don't have to be lost in darkness. Thank you that we don't have to fear in this 2021, but we can trust in you. We can rest in you. We can relax in you and say, they which believed have entered into a rest. And so thank God that there is a rest for the people of God. And I rest myself. I say thank you, Lord, that I can find shelter in you, that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shelter of the Almighty. And so we hide in you through all the storms that are all around. And we want to say thank you. Thank you for loving us and for saving us and for filling us with the Holy Spirit and guiding us and directing us and helping us through this life. And everybody said, amen. Well, there's a scripture over in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, and like I mentioned, we're going to be talking about responding from your heart, Proverbs 4:23. It says, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. You know, the heart is the most important part of your life, so to speak, and of course your mind is important. And Thessalonians says, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body. So you are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. Of course, our bodies will be laid in the earth one day, and we'll get a new body. It'll be resurrected, but that's way in the future. But right now, we're dealing with our heart, and we're dealing with the soul of man, the mind, the will, and emotions. And those are the two parts that are going to go on to eternity. And so if you know the Lord Jesus Christ right now, guess what? You'll know him then. Some people say, oh, we'll see when I die what happens. No, you want to know right now that you have a confidence that you are born again, that you're saved, that Jesus is your Lord and master and friend. And you want to have that confidence now. So it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. So in the heart, all the good things can flow. And actually, some other things can flow as well. You know, some of the greatest forces, love and joy, come from the heart. But also, hate could come from the heart, and some cruel things can come from the heart as well. And so you want to make sure that your heart is tapped into the things of God. Smith Wigglesworth was a great man of God. He died in 1947 at the age of 87, and he had this quote. His grandmother was a Methodist minister and took him to a Methodist church, and he was actually 8 years old. And he see these simple people, he called them. They were dancing and clapping around this stove in the middle of the church sanctuary, and they were singing. And he said, this is his quote, they wrote it down, what he said as he ministered, because he didn't write anything with messages in books. Actually, people copied what he said and wrote it down. There's several books by Smith Wigglesworth. As I clap my hands A clear knowledge of the new birth came into my soul. I looked to the Lamb of Calvary, and I believed that he loved me and died for me. Life came in, eternal life, and I knew that I received a new life, which I have come from God. I was born again. I saw that God wants us so badly that he has made the condition as simple as he possibly could. Only believe. And so when it comes to responding from the heart, there's four things that I want to talk about today. Well, number one is your believing. Number two is your speaking. Number three is your doing. And number four is your receiving. So only believe. That's such an easy thing, is just to believe. I find it very hard that some people can believe. But you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As you hear God's word, guess what? Faith is going to rise in your heart. Every time you hear the word preached or ministered or taught, guess what? Faith has the capacity, when you believe it and understand it, that it's there. You believe, and that's so great. I find it so sad when people cannot believe. They can't believe in God. They can't believe in anything. That's so sad, but yet we have the opportunity that we know Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. We know that we're born again. We know certain things in the Scriptures, and yet some people are so blinded, spiritually blinded. The Bible says Satan has blinded the minds of them that don't believe. And so be thankful for the way you do believe, and that your believing can be increased. It says over in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, "For with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So if we're going to respond from our heart, we're going to have a good believer inside of our spirit. We're going to have to believe God's word and say, yeah, I believe God's word. I know God's word, and nobody can take it from me. That's a great relationship that you have with God, and the word is that is inside your heart, inside your spirit. Romans 10:10, "For with the heart is the spirit of man on the inside of you." That's the real you. You know, if you get somebody to get them to talk and find out what comes out of their mouth, I'm amazed sometimes what comes out of my mouth, and I don't like it sometimes because it's doubt and unbelief. But you listen to what people say. That's their faith talking. That's what they believe. That's what they believe about the situation, whether it's right or wrong. Sometimes our grandparents or our parents taught us things, it weren't right, and yet we could speak them like they're gospel truth. No, you want to find what God's word says and believe that. This is what God's word says to me. So with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession. See, to respond from the from your heart, you got to believe, and you also have to say some things. You're a speaker. We're made in the image of God, and God spoke this world into existence. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He said, "Let this happen," and that would happen, because he's a speaker, and we're created in his very own image, and so we're created in the image of God. So to respond from your heart, you want to have that believing. You want to have your believing working good. You know, sometimes people have a heart pacer, and they say, how's that working? Oh, it's working. Well, you want to have a believer that's working. And it's not missing. It's with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus says, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You know, over in Jonah chapter 3, and verse 4 to 5, there was a man named Jonah. God had a message for Jonah and told him what to do. He didn't want to do it. Kind of like a lot of people today, they say, "No, I don't want to follow God. I want to do my own thing." But Jonah went the opposite direction. He got on a boat and he fell asleep in the bottom of the deck. And all of a sudden, this raging storm came up, and it was a horrible situation. The storms were raging, and they tried their best to control that. And finally, they found Jonah. They woke him up and they say, "What are you doing, sleeping?" And he said, "Oh, well, I'm running away from God because he wants me to go to Nineveh and preach to them." They tried their best to control that situation. They ended up throwing Jonah overboard. And a big whale swallows Jonah and spits him out on land later on, after about 3 days, I believe, because Jonah repented. And then he made his way to Nineveh. And it says here in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4 to 5, it says, "On the day that Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. And the people of Nineveh believed the message. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You hear God's word, you have a capacity to believe. And the people of Nineveh believed God's message, from the greatest to the least. And then they did something. They declared a fast. They put on burlap to show their sorrow. And they repented. And in that case, Nineveh was spared. And so thank God that we have the capacity to hear the word of God and then believe. So the people of Nineveh believe God's message from the greatest to the least. And they declared a fast. They put on burlap to show their sorrow. So the number one is believing. You believe with your spirit on the inside of you. Over in John chapter 20 and verse 24, John 20 and verse 24, there was a man named Thomas. Now, we always call him Thomas the Doubter, but a lot of us have doubted at different times. And he worked with Jesus, and he was around that group. It says here in the 19th verse, and the same day was evening, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples, this is John chapter 20 and verse 19, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Then came Jesus and stood in the midst. See, that's the master. He can come right through the wall and he'll just be right where you're at, right in front of you. He says, peace be unto you. He always brings the message of peace. If anybody comes with a message of scaring you, turmoil and all kinds of fear, you know, just push it away, because Jesus always is the Prince of Peace. Verse 20, and when he had said so, he showed him his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. 21, then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, I'm sending you. 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them. So Jesus breathed in them, and we heard that as actually those disciples became born again. The experience that we experience as New Testament Christians and are born again, that's what they experienced at that very moment. He breathed on them, because in Acts 2:4, they were filled with the Spirit later. So this is the instance where they were born again. They had that experience when he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was bearing witness with their spirit that they're children of God. Verse 23, whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted, and whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. We won't mention about that scripture. But verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when they came. The other disciples said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he said, except I see. See, right there, Thomas just wanted to go by how it looks. He saw Jesus beat to a pulp. He died on Calvary's cross. He saw the blood. He saw him dead. He hung his head. He said, it is finished. But Thomas said, I will not believe that he rose from the dead, even though Jesus said it many times through the scriptures. I'm going to rise again. I'm going to rise again. He said, except I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger in those holes in the nails and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. So that's a bad place to be, not believing. And I understand the disciples had a blessing there, because Jesus breathed on them. He didn't breathe on Thomas. But yet Thomas said, I will not believe. And then after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, stood in the midst. He said, peace be unto them. So Thomas had 8 days to talk about, you know, I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to believe. They saw the Lord. I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to believe. And so for 8 days, they had to put up with Thomas and the way he was speaking there. But then after 8 days, Jesus stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, the first one he picks out is Thomas. Why does he do that? Because Jesus always likes to work on people. He always likes to pick out those that they need help. He said, I've come not to heal the healthy, I come for the sick. So he said, Thomas, reach hither your finger and behold my hand. Reach hither thy hand, thrust it in my side. See, he knew exactly the words that Thomas was saying. And be not faithless, but believing. So right there, Jesus said, Thomas, you were faithless because you wanted to see the result before you believed the result. No. You know, there was a great man of God. His name is Charles Capps. And Charles Capps would say, God told us that we could say, we could believe what we, to say what we believe, but we're saying what we have. God says you can have what you say, but you're saying what you have. God told us that we can have what we say, but we're saying what we have. Here, he wanted to see before he would believe. And so we have to believe God's word. We have to believe him just because his word says it. Base everything on the word of God. So Jesus said, be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas said, my Lord, my God. Of course, anybody would. Verse 29, and Jesus said, Thomas, because you've seen me, you believe, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And so the first part of this receiving or responding from the heart is having a good believer on the inside of you. I'm a believer. You should be able to say, I'm a believer. I believe in the Lord. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Father. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in them. And because the Word of God says that. And then he says, Thomas, because you see me, you believe, but blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. So people that have not seen but yet believe are blessed people. And you're not going to just be that forever. No, there's a time where you will see. You know, the same with answered prayer. Yeah, we believe that we receive it, but I want the thing in manifestation. I just don't want to believe that I receive it, and I'm grateful and I'm thankful for it. But I want to see the end result of what we have. You know, you want the answer to your prayer because it says that when you see it, you believe that you receive it. Okay, so that's believing with the heart. Also in Mark chapter 5 and verse 22 is another awesome instance. And you see people, what they believe and what they speak. And so in Mark chapter 5 and verse 22, Mark 5 and verse 22, and behold, there come one of the ruler of a synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. And he said something in verse 23, he said, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Now, we could just look at that, all the little girls at the point of death. Hey, put your child in that situation. We're talking Jairus is serious about his kid, his 12-year-old kid, and the kid is going to die. And so he says, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray you, come lay your hands on her, and she'll be healed. So that was his faith speaking. Jairus believed something in his heart. And what he believed, it says, Jesus, please, come to my house, lay your hands on her, and she's going to live. And Jesus went with him. Jesus didn't say much, I guess. He just said, okay, let's go. And so he's on his way to his house, and much people followed him. Verse 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, you see, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Your believing is going to be what you're hearing. If you're hearing false doctrine, guess what? That's what you're going to believe. But if you're hearing the word of God, you're going to believe that. And so she heard that Jesus, there was healing virtue flowing from him. It says in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So she heard of Jesus, came in the press, touched his garment. Verse 28, for she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. So this is the woman's faith speaking. You see, Jairus says, you come to my house, lay your hands, she'll be healed. That's his faith speaking. This woman says, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. That's her faith speaking. And straightway, so she went there and touched, and immediately it happened. She didn't feel anything at first, but she went and touched first. She believed first. She acted first, and she touched his garment, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And immediately knowing, Jesus knowing that virtue had went out of him, he said, who touched my clothes? The disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? There's a whole pile of people gathered around Jesus, touching him, poking him, bumping into him, seeing if anything's going to happen. But yet one woman received because she had faith, and she believed, and she responded from her heart, and she said, if I may touch his border of his garment, I shall be whole. She touched it and was made perfectly whole. And Jesus, knowing, he said, "Who touched me?" Verse 31, and the disciples said unto him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and then you say, 'Who touched me?'" Verse 32, and when he looked around to see who was done, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down and told them all the truth. She said everything that we just read to Jesus. And Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague." Right there. And when he was come, therefore, then after he said that to the woman, verse 35, there came one from the ruler's house, Jairus' house, and said, "Your daughter's dead." What a horrible statement. "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the master?" And as soon as Jesus heard that word that was spoken, he turned to the ruler and he said, "Be not afraid, only believe." And so right there, Jesus immediately shut down the unbelief. You know, we go to Tulsa usually every year, and Mark Hankin's wife was healed from a very serious disease of the brain, I believe it was. And so she was healed, but she was healed because he would say, "Nobody comes into this room unless they believe and have faith." You don't want doubt and unbelief around you when it's a serious, critical situation. And she came out of that. And so Jesus said, "Do not fear, only believe," when he heard those words of negativity and of doubt that was coming to Jairus. Jairus was probably distraught and said, "You know, this is horrible." But yet Jesus spoke the word. When he went to the house, the people were laughing at Jesus, mocking him, saying, "She's dead, she's dead." And Jesus put them all out of the house. See, he got rid of the doubt and the unbelief. When there's doubt and unbelief around you, you just push it away and say, "No, I'm believing the word of God. I'm believing what my Bible says. I'm believing the word of God." You know, when it comes to finances, you say, "Thank God, he's supplying my needs." When it comes to health and healing, "Thank you, Lord, that himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses." But we have so much of the world and of news and media that put people down and try to, make them scared and sick and die. So it says here about number one, responding from the heart is going to be your believing. Number two is your speaking. So what's coming out of your mouth? I always like to say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks or it leaks. It could leak doubt. It could leak unbelief. It could leak fear. It could leak failure. You know, it could leak, "We never have enough money." You know, there's more, there's no money. There's no money. No, we want to have money. Amen? We want to have provision that God has provided and supplied for us. We don't want to say those things, or we don't want to say we can't do this or we can't do that. No, it may be not the right opportunity or the right time to purchase something, but, you know, with God, all things are possible. You know, faith gives action to the power. And so to respond from your heart, you're going to be believing, but you're also going to be speaking. You're going to be talking. You got to build yourself up. You got to talk. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, we have in that same spirit of faith, "I believe, therefore I've spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." You are a speaking spirit, and you're going to speak what's in your heart. And may you have God's word in a full supply in your heart, having a full measure. Over in Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, Abraham was a great man of God, and he's the forefather of faith. He's the one who God called even when he was an old man and said, "You're going to have a son." What? He's 100, almost 100 years old. So that means that he laughed at first, and actually Sarah laughed. But guess what? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. You're going to have to start saying, "You know, I want to go to the Word of God." I remember when I was praying and believing God for something, I looked up to God. I was so mad, man. Oh, I was mad. And I said, "I'm never in the history of mankind ever, ever going to ask you for that again, ever." As far as I was concerned, it was a done deal. My asking days were over. And bless God, the answer was right there. Because God likes that. He doesn't want you crying and moping to him, you know, coming every day. Imagine if you had one of your kids live in your house and every day they came and cried, "Oh, can I have a little bit of food? Can I have a little bit of food? Oh, please, please." shut up and go and have some food. Amen? There's plenty of turkey left over and mashed potatoes. Not many mashed potatoes, but there's the other stuff you could eat. So you got to come to that place where, you know God's word, you're going to ask him, and so you want to speak what God's word has to say. Matthew 12:34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And in Romans 4:17, Abraham came to a place where it was with God that he called those things which be not as though they were. I call myself a father of many nations. Abraham. Not just Abraham or whatever. It was Abraham. A father of many nations. And so he believed it. And he went for it. And bless God, he had a son. And he had such a beautiful son. That kid was old. And God gave him a test. Now, God doesn't test people. You know, people are crazy when they go and do stupid things, you know, in the name of God. But God wanted to know how much Abraham loved that promise, that son. You know, he didn't love that promise. He knew that God gave that promise. He was ready to wipe out that promise. You'll give me a new promise. That's how sure he is in the word of God, and you could read it for yourselves. And so God said, Abraham, Abraham, don't do any harm for the kid. I see that you're trusting in me. I see that you love me. Amen? And so a lot of times God will ask you to do things that you don't want to do. And just to see what you're up to. You know, like the one man said, I didn't want to get saved because I thought the Lord had sent me to Africa. He don't want you to go to Africa. There's plenty of people in Africa. They can preach themselves right around. He just wants you to know, are you willing to go to Africa? If you're not willing to go to Africa, then you're not willing. But you want to be willing to do whatever. Amen? You be willing. And so you got to believe and you got to speak the word of God. You know, in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it and will he not do it? And has he spoken and will he not make it good? See, God is the same kind like we are, because we're made in his image. Has he not said it and will he not do it? Has he not spoken and will he not make it good? No, he'll make it good. He always does exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He wants to do exceedingly. You're believing for a $5,000 check? Guess what? Go ahead. He wants to give you $10,000. Hallelujah! Because he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. You want to pray for your toe? Guess what? He wants your whole leg healed. He wants your hips healed. He wants your whole, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, healed. So to respond from the heart, you're going to have your believing. You're going to have your speaking. And the third, you're going to have your doing. James 1:22 says, be ye doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving your own self. For whosoever be a hearer of the word and not a doer is like a man that beholds his face in a mirror. For he beholds himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, sometimes I ride around in the vehicle and listen to the radio. And I have to shake myself. Hey, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, you know. The 80s aren't here no more. The 80s are gone, or the 70s, or the 60s, or the 90s. I remember hearing somebody said, oh, the 90s music was the best. I said, the 90s? I was born again in 87, so I didn't know anything about no 90s music. But I guess there was music then too, and people loved those songs. And so, but you have to remember that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. We find that amusing, some of those things, some of those songs, but guess what? I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. So James 1:22 says, be doers of the word. You got to act on your faith. You got to act your belief. You know, I find it amazing that the Bible says the devils also believe and tremble. And I said to myself, well, if they're believers, the devils are believers, how come nothing happens? Because you'll find out that they'll never confess Jesus as Lord. I heard it in the scriptures about a demon-possessed person. They'll never, if you ask a demon-possessed person, is Jesus Christ come in the flesh? Is Jesus Christ Lord? They'll say, no, and they will not. There's no change. There's no transformation. And they're devils anyways. But the devils even believe and tremble. But God wants us to believe and speak. Hallelujah. That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So he said to the woman, daughter, your faith has made you whole. That woman had to step out. She had to touch. The other one, Jesus, come lay hands on her and my daughter shall be whole. And so many times, so God gives us actions that we are to do. We are to do our faith. We are to do an action. We are to do an action. You know, Smith Wigglesworth would say, faith is an act. Faith is an act. Faith is an act. And so as you hear God's word, act on it. Believe it, speak it, and act on it. Do some side of an exercise. You know, sometimes people don't even want to lift up their hands. The Bible says, lifting up holy hands without doubt and without wrath. We lift up holy hands. Sometimes God would want you to stand up. You know, if you're all stiff there and sitting down and a sore back and whatever, you got to stand up and lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Thank you, Lord, for health. Thank you, Lord, for healing. How about forgiving? That definitely needs an act of, you just say, oh, I want to do something for that person over there. Oh, I want to do that. I really, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that I do that for that person. I want to, but guess what? It's not going to happen until you get up and you go over there and you do what you want to bless. Amen? I know during this Christmas we had some meat. And that lady who brought some meat, some beautiful sausages, she had to get up. She had to find that meat in the freezer. First of all, she had to make that meat, however she got it. Then she brought it. Then she gave it out. And then we had to receive it as well. And so it takes that kind of faith. Faith is an act. Every time the tithes are paid, guess what? Faith is an act. I got to go to Cindy. I texted her this morning. I said, Cindy, what's the tithe? And she texts back, it's $300. And so you got to go and you got to tithe. Amen? But I didn't keep good records, but she does. And everybody needs to keep a record, because otherwise you'll just be, oh yeah, before I got married, I was, oh yeah, I'm a tither. I gave like $3,000 away and in little lumps. Yeah, I believe in the tithe. I believe in the tithe. Well, to believe in the tithe, you're going to have to actually do some calculations. What came into your life? Amen? And what you're going to honor the Lord with it. And so that is that faith is an act. And so you got to act your faith. You know, we heard last the other service about forgiving. Guess what? Faith is an act. Father, I forgive because you forgave me. Case closed. Amen? Whether they like it or not is not the issue. The issue is I did my part. I acted. Father, forgive. Walking in love. You know, we heard it when you make eggs in the morning. And sometimes people like sunny side up. You're making several eggs. I made several eggs the other day. They were looking like scrambled eggs, almost all of them. So you flip those eggs, and some of them are good. And I know that when I want to give the best egg for my wife, to have that she likes a lot of yolk. And so you got to make sure. But what if I like the yolk? I would sometimes, maybe once in a while, put a nice egg on my plate, hey? And so that's not walking in love. I want to walk in love and give her the better part. I want to be a blessing unto her. And so that would be faith as an act. That's a love walk. That's what you do. You exercise your faith. So responding from your heart has to do with your believing in your heart, your speaking, and your acting. You're acting out. You are one of the best actors there is. Amen? You're acting God's word. You're talking to God. You know, you're talking to an invisible God. An invisible God. An invisible God. I like to hear that about Jesse. Going to the, or Samuel his name was, and going to the house of Jesse. The Lord says, there's one of those guys there to be king of Israel. One of the sons. So, why didn't he just say, Go to Jesse's house. There's a kid named David. Anoint him king. No, because that's the way God is. He is a God of faith. He loves faith. He sent his son to earth. You know, when Jesus was this big, we're talking about a baby that came out of a womb, And I've had four kids, not in me, but I was involved with that. And those babies came out, they're this big. So when Jesus was that big, guess what? Someone could come up to that kid and say, hey, Jesus, you know, you're the smart one. You know, Jesus didn't know anything at that moment in that time. Jesus was a little bitty baby. In fact, he gave his father a dream, Joseph, and said, go to Egypt and wait there until I give you further word, because Herod's going to kill all the kids 2 years old and under. And that nut went and killed all those kids, and Jesus was spared. I thought Jesus is the Son of God. Why is he like that? Couldn't he stand up for himself? No, because he had to grow and develop. The Bible says he laid aside all that power, all that glory, and he came down as a little bitty human, a little bitty baby. Gave up his deity power, so to speak. He is the Son of God, but yet he gave it all up. And then he had to grow and to develop. And when he was 12 years old, he wanted to be about his father's business. How cute. Little 12-year-old Jesus wanting to do the will of the Father. And then after his parents said, no, you come on with us. And then he went for another 18 years. God is a faith God. And so don't fear for one second that, oh, I don't know all the plan. I don't know all the purpose. I don't know all this. That doesn't matter. What needs to matter is that you know the Lord. You know the Word of God. You know His leading. He's guiding. He's directing. He's correcting. He's instructing in righteousness. And that's how you're responding unto Him. And He's going to lead you all through this life. And then you're going to smile and say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And enter the streets of glory. And walk right through those gates. That's going to be a glorious time. But I don't want to go yet. I want to do things. Amen? I want to believe. I want to believe for a bigger house. No. There's people that need to be saved. Amen? My heart breaks, for people that aren't born again. You know? I get to be born again. I get to have fellowship with God. I get to have love in my heart. And yet, people don't see, you know. There's one guy in the paper route, you know, beautiful man, you know, older guy. He's in his 70s. He says his friend killed himself. Here, a 70-year-old man kills himself. That's so horrible when there's so much to live for. People are hungry. People are looking. The Bible says the fields are white unto harvest. So don't feel bad this Christmas or this New Year's. Know that God's got a job for you to do. He's got a plan and a purpose, a will and desire, the great outpouring of the Spirit. So to respond from the heart, you have to believe, have a good believer, have a good speaker, have a good doer, and the third one is be a good receiver. So you got to be receiving. Mark 11, 23 and 24. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. You have to always be saying, hey, I want to be a receiver. If somebody blesses you with something, you go ahead and say, thank you. And if you don't want it personally, find somebody and go ahead and be a blesser, be a giver. To respond from the heart, you are believing, you are speaking, you are acting, and you are receiving, to be a receiver for God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And in those four things is responding from the heart. The heart is the greatest thing. Brother Hagin says, if you can get people to respond from the heart that are sick, you'll get them healed every time. Hallelujah. Wow, it's only 11:12. Amen. So let's thank God and let's pray. Amen. This is a new year. Father, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus. We give you praise and glory. You pray where you're at. You pray in your home. Father, we just give you praise and glory and honor. And we worship you. We thank you for giving us all that spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of you, that the eyes of all of our understanding may be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of our calling, that each one may know what is the hope of their calling, and what is the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of your power to usward who believe, according to the working of your mighty power which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead, I thank you also, bow my knees unto my God and Father, and my Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant unto us according to the riches of your glory to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in the inner man, that each one would feel strength this year in 2021, to strengthen with might by your Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith, that each one may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge. We thank you for Faith City Church and Spirit Alive Ministries and for the Bible School and for all the outreaches. We thank you in the name of Jesus for the power of God upon those ministries. We thank you that they're touching and ministering life to people. You said you'd pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. That includes in 2021, your Spirit being poured upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters prophesying, your old men dreaming dreams, your young men seeing visions. Hallelujah, for placing into the heart of each man, each woman, each boy, each girl. Hallelujah, a destiny, a plan and a purpose, a will and a desire to do your will. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Amen, amen. God bless you. And may you have a wonderful Sunday going over to Pastor Steve.